What's your daughter-in-law situation?
Well, okay, it's probably just slightly different, but nevertheless, very distressful, as I see it. This lady is a relation of mine, as you know, and she came to me a short time ago, asked me, could she tell me her story? I said, of course. I had no idea what it was, and then I got the whole story. And, okay, 10 years ago, she decided to go and have just a routine scan, and actually was very lucky, because they found that she had a very high reading. They called it CN3. And she had to have a procedure, but was told in no uncertain terms that she required a scan every year to make sure that nothing would come back, and to it was a prudent thing to do. And for 10 years she had been going, and in 10 years everything was fine, got a clear letter every time, until this time she went in December, and in early January she got a letter, which you have there, stating that it wasn't all clear, and that she should contact her health centre and discuss it with either the nurse or the doctor of that centre. I was surprised to see that she was asked to discuss it with the nurse, seeing as such a serious situation. But nevertheless, she did very quickly and said, I'm very, very concerned. Is there something wrong? And the nurse said, yeah, there is something abnormal here. All right. But nevertheless, we don't think it's of any great importance, and we don't want to see you for 3 years. My daughter-in-law couldn't make head nor tail of that, did not think that it made any sense, and she said, no, sorry, I can't accept that. She said, I have a history, and this does not sound right to me.
She was told, just to recap, she was told there were mild changes to the cells, there was a cancer virus test done, and she was told that was clear, and then said, come back in 3 years. But as you're going on to say, she's saying, well, with my history, I can't wait that long. I need more of an evaluation of this situation.
Absolutely. I mean, she was very cognizant of the fact that she had been warned to make sure to do this every year, and now she's been told, yes, things are not completely right. Was not given any medical detailed explanation as such, and was told to come back in 3 years, you're fine. But, you know, in all fairness, fair play to the nurse, who heard the concern in this lady's voice and said, you know what, let me make a phone call, I'll explain your situation, and I'll come back to you. Which she very quickly did, and said, no, that's the situation, that's the way it's going to be, but if you want, you can go and get a private smear, but you're going to have to pay for that. But as we see it, we don't want to see you for 3 years. My daughter-in-law was absolutely distraught, but it wasn't what she felt that she could do about it. She felt she had tried, and then she began to believe, well, surely these people would not, tell me not to come back for 3 years unless they know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And she gradually began to accept it. And that was fine until about a week ago, when she started to hear the details of the case with the Vicky Phelan. And the more she heard, the more distraught she got. And she became, that's the reason I'm speaking to you. She asked me, would I find out the answers to why this happened? And especially, there's one big question here, is that when the nurse was good enough to recognize the concern and the distress in her voice, and who did she go back to? Who did she phone and say, listen, this is the situation here? And then, nevertheless, she was told, no, that is going to be the way it is. There's going to be no changes. Come back in 3 years. I want to find out, on behalf of this lady and on behalf of everybody else, why, you know, who made that decision? Mm. Who exactly is playing God with the lives of these people to make a decision like that? And especially in a case of this sensitivity with the information that was available to them. I think it's totally unbelievable.
Yeah, and she was. What confuses me too about this is there was anomalies there. There were changes there to the point whereby this lady was called in to chat to the nurse. Why would that happen? And instead of it being yearly tests now, it's every 3 years. It's almost like there's mixed information there, and you want to know who ultimately is responsible for saying you're okay for another 3 years. Because we do know with this situation that if that time is of the essence. So it's there are opportunities coming up now where people will be offered further tests, I believe. Would that be enough, Fenda? Or?
No, it's not. Absolutely not. If it wasn't for the bravery of Vicky Phelan, this would have went under the carpet, the way so many other things have gone under the carpet, and there wouldn't be a word about it. This is far too serious. This is people's lives. There are people, professionals, so-called professionals, who are taking decisions here that are godlike decisions, and I want to know why. They make no sense. There is conflict here, absolute conflict. And I see that the national letter from the lady and the national that lady, she offloads the responsibility. She does not say what the difficulties are. She offloads it to say, ring, I'm not going to tell you, but ring up and talk to your health centre. And they let them decide what they want to tell you or not, as in the case. There's this offloading that's going on, fobbing people off, transfer of responsibility as to who should say what to who and when and all the rest of it. This is quite unbelievable. And in a situation that is life and death. So this will not end here. I'm delighted there's going to be scans immediately. But can you imagine being that person and you're being told to stand out in no man's land for 3 years, mm-hmm. and then you hear the detail of what has happened to this other lady and what the consequences could be and what might be, and that how you have to deal with that mentally, and you're told, well, it really, that's just the way it is. Sorry, we can't help you. That's just the way it is. That's not acceptable under any circumstances.
Right, and well, thank you very much for that. Strong points well made there. So just to recap the developments in the story over the weekend, 2,000 people, and you can imagine the stress, have contacted the Health Service Executive Helpline by last night. But what is worse, it seems that half of the 206 women that we know of affected were not told they may have had a delayed diagnosis. And these are people that may have benefited from earlier treatment, 103 of those. 12 women have died. This review that was carried over the weekend has showed that 12 women have died. But we don't know as of yet if their death was due to a delayed diagnosis or if indeed a delayed diagnosis may have contributed to it. Dr. James McDade joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Dr. McDade.
Good morning.
I suppose, as a GP, perhaps you're the first port of call for people that are worried. You know your patients best, and maybe they... what I'm getting at here is I presume you've been inundated with calls.
Mm-hmm. Inundated is what we expected. But before 9 o'clock this morning, we opened up at 8:30, we had 3. So you can imagine that will probably be the pattern for the day, because people, women are very, very worried about what happened, and it's not a tragedy, it's an absolute disgrace actually as to what happened. And as I said, from the stories that are coming out, and you know that you talk about the 206, and I mean the 206 are basically just those involved with the 2011 audit, mm-hmm. basically. But so you must remember that. And I think it must be, I forget what year it was actually stated that we were going to go to the United States with the to do these particular tests, and they won the competition, shall we say, at that stage. So, but every year since then, shall we say 2011, 2012, and 2012, there would have been a review in 2015 or 3 years later, and so on and so forth. So the 2006 is actually only applying to that particular year, and then the audit would have been done. From what I can gather, an audit would have been done on all those whose smear test result had changed. But the problem that we have now, and it's a very, very natural and a very, very acceptable problem, is that the women who've had their tests done in whatever year that they had it done are now wondering exactly what, how much confidence that they can put in the test that they went through. And especially those, I know a few of them have come to me and said, you know, okay, from the last time that you had your test, things have changed, and it is at stage one or is it stage two? And of course, those are the women that then have to go back into the audit and find out, as you quite rightly put it, was there a lack of disclosure? And if the tests were done and reviewed from 3 years previously, how many of these were actually abnormal at that time, and therefore, as you pointed out, also delayed treatment.
In terms of not disclosing, I mean, there's no scenario, I presume. I mean, there maybe with matters of mental health or something, there might be some exceptions, I don't know. But that people are being, a decision was made or someone gave an instruction not to tell women that, in other words, they may be better off not knowing.
Yes. It beggars belief that, and I mean, I was just reading the part of from the newspapers, basically, of what went on between the two people concerned, and one was saying, you're the GP, it is better because you know the person and how they're going to react and so on and so forth, and if you think that that they shouldn't be told, okay, we will leave that with you. Well, whereas the other person was saying that you are the people that's in charge of the company and making the decisions, and basically I think that was really a correct way of doing it, that they should have been informed by the person who was in charge of the results in the first place. So it's unbelievable how this could have gone on for so long. Now, let me put it to you, there are some times that you would say, and you can tell a family member, or you might say that somebody, that test has come back a little bit, it has changed, and I'm not talking about cervical smears, mm-hmm. I'm talking about various tests, and sometimes I myself would seek a second opinion on as to whether, this actually would be their opinion on the matter. So I'd make that decision rather than tell the patient, hey, look, I'm going to have a second opinion, but I'll get the second opinion, and then you would tell the patient. There's sometimes a situation where you might get, for example, a little skin lesion on a Friday evening. I would say to myself, okay, I won't put them through anything for the weekend because basically they won't be doing anything for the weekend. I can't contact Galway for the weekend, so I'll leave it to Monday or Tuesday. So that is a little...
That's managing it, though, rather than, you know...
But this went on for 2 years with a squamous cell carcinoma of the cervix, and these were, it's a huge area, and I mean, there's huge improvement in the treatment and in the life expectancy of women with cervical cancer now, and that's the point that that I wanted to make this morning. But there is huge improvement there. But this is still a very, very serious cancer. I think it is the fourth largest killer of women in the country. It is very, very, very serious, and I think I'm not sure, but I remember being on your program before, and I think 90 Irish women die every year from cervical cancer.
Yes, it is
very, very necessary that the treatment is initiated as soon as possible. And the point that I've just made there, when the treatment is initiated as soon as possible, then the results are spectacularly good. And there have been one of the most successful cancers that we have been able to treat in the past 20, 25 years.
What this will do, though, is, and people I've been speaking to over the weekend, and it's just an initial reaction, and maybe it will settle down, though, they've completely lost faith in the whole smear test program, to the point whereby they're wondering, will they bother going for the tests into the future?
No. I mean, that is the one point that I wanted to make this morning. I mean, you can talk about the number being 206. I have no doubt whatsoever that number is going to go up for the reasons I've just said to you, that the three-year smear test. But the smear test taken 3 years later and the one taken 3 years later. I mean, those are still to come into focus. So there will be quite a large number. But at the same time, and don't get me wrong here, there are 206 women, and there probably will be five times that number, right? But at the same time, in the overall picture of all of this here, this is a very, very, very small percentage. When you take it at the minute, 206, it is 0.0005 of all the actual smears that have been done. Okay, that may raise a little bit, but at the same time, I hope I can make the point to you that because it has been so hugely successful, but this is a small number. But I don't get me wrong, I know there's a large number for all of those women that are involved and for all of those women that are out there that are worried and everything about it. But for God's sakes, do not stop not doing your pap smears, because really they are, they have been outstanding in the method of diagnosis.
But something significantly is going to have to change, and people can step down or heads can roll, but I think what women will need going forward is to have more information as to who's checking them, where they're being checked, how they're being checked, what is... not the acceptable rate, but I mean there is human error. In the documentation it says that, let me just read exactly what it says. It's important to understand that no screening test is 100% effective. So there's a job of work for the health minister and the people that work for him to help women to feel as insured as possible that this is a robust screening system, because a screening system that isn't robust, well, then it could be problematic. But I know you've highlighted the percentages there, and quite rightly, but, you know, perception is a real thing too.
The perception is fundamental to the whole situation. And as I said, I would hope that it would be the reverse, that women would actually not... wouldn't make the decision, oh, I'm not going to have a pap smear simply because I don't have any confidence in it. I would like the women to go in the opposite direction, despite the fact that it will cause some problems for doctors at the moment. But I would feel that they wanted to go the other direction, that they should say, okay, I haven't had any confidence in this in the situation from here on, and I would like them to say, if I have any worries at all, I would like to have my smear test repeated. And that is what the minister is going to have to do. As a matter of fact, he's already announced that he's going to have to do that. And we as doctors are going to have to prepare. And by the way, we've already made preparations that we are going to have an emergency hour for what necessary in the week in order to facilitate these women. Because that is what they want to do. But the one point is, for God's sake, make sure that you continue to do the pap smear, because the pap smear is undoubtedly the one way of actually diagnosing this cancer. And at the back of the whole thing, remember that this cancer, cervical cancer of the cervix, is known to be occurred by the HPV virus. And the HPV virus, okay, we had about 4 at one stage, we now have 9 of them, right? We have 6, we have 11, we have 16, 18, we have 4, we have 7 more. So the injection, which is vitally important as well. Now, the HPV vaccine is now available to cover all 9 of the actual HPV viruses. There are 100 HPV viruses known, but these are all cervical cancers are all practically due to the HPV virus. So it is vitally important in a preventative manner that the vaccine is so important in this issue. But the cervical smear is also for those women, those are for the kids going to school, the young girls, and indeed the boys, yes, but those are for the women who are now in this dilemma. They may require that they want to have an extra smear test done now, but the cervical smear is still by far and far above anything else in the diagnosis of cervical cancer.
So yes, just to recap the time frame, because at the moment this is a review of 2011. We have a lady that got a smear at the end of 2016. Now she's concerned, should she go and have another one? Will we discover that the same thing happened for 2016 in 4, 5, 6, 7 years? Presumably, doctor, at this point, all tests will be reviewed. Would that be your expectation?
Well, I don't know how many. Yeah, that would be my hope rather than my expectation. But from the number of, I would be unsure of how many tests are done on an annual basis by this particular laboratory in the United States. But the thing about it was, there's another issue here, is that when the tender process went out to do this, and this was obviously the laboratory that won the tender process, and one of the issues that they would have put down is, we can actually do it for this price, and we can actually get your test back to you. I think it was within 10 days. I think they said they could actually do all that. So it was, we sent it from Ireland. The cost didn't matter. Well, the cost, of course, doesn't matter in this sense, but we sent it from Ireland. But it was always a situation where women actually want to get this smear test, or the thought that they wanted to get it back as soon as possible. So here is another issue. I was, you know, wasn't hindsight wonderful. I would love to say, okay, listen, take your time, take 3 weeks at that test. But if you have to have a double check over there, do a double check on it, you know, so that I think things have to change there. And the whole thing of being expedient and actually sending the result back to us must be taken on board, of course, at the same time. But I think a woman would prefer to have a test positively identified as yes or no, positive or negative, after 20 days, and perhaps thinking about it after coming in.
Okay.
After 10 days. But finally, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, there is human error. The figures show that there is human error definitely here. It's not so much negligence. The negligence part of it is in the disclosure part of it. That is absolutely
I mean, we need to, I think it's so important that we need to find out who decided to leave it to the judgment of cancer specialists to tell a woman that a result was wrong, and who in the HSE said, right, that's a good idea, and ticked the box on that one as well. Finally, doctor, and the last thing I want to do is worry people any further, but it's inevitable that people are listening that maybe went through the bowel screening program or other screening programs that may start saying, well, if these are issues in the cervical screening program, what's the situation with these other screening programs? Do you think they're right to be concerned about that, or should we treat this one story in isolation?
Well, the two major screening programs that we do have at the moment, well, of course, it's the breast screening program as well, but the bowel and the cervix would be the other two. Naturally enough, you're going to have doubts cast by these, but these are certainly completely different types of screening areas in this regard. The bowel issue, whereas we have the Pap smear as our mainstay of the cervical cancer. In the bowel situation, we do have quite a number of screening areas whereby, if the symptoms do recur, then of course you have ultrasound, you have MRIs, you have your biopsies, you have quite a lot of other things that you can actually go where with. But at the end of the day. I still feel that, you know, we could do more with regards to the bowel screening program, because basically the bowel screening program is basically a specimen of cells that are sent away, and it's tested for blood, and if it's, you know, it's basically one test. You know,
that you send yourself there. Away, that you actually get the sample and forward it up.
No, we don't send it away. They get word from the bowel screening.
But the individual does, is that...
Yes, the individual reach a specific age. Yeah. But the point that I'm making is, you take the sample of the stools at, shall we say, so many hours apart or whatever it is. But the point that I have a reservation always with it there, is that, okay, so that little specimen that you've sent away, so you have 22 feet, 24 feet of bowel, okay, doesn't you know, it just could be absent from that part. You understand what I'm saying, right? So I always say that if there is bowel symptoms there, it's good to have the screening test, but at the same time, I think you should pursue it with your doctor, you know, if your symptoms continue. And here, one other point is that you know, the laboratory here, you know, they're very, very good here in Letterkenny, but unfortunately, that test, you know, the fecal occult blood, FOB, they've taken it away from us GPs. We used to be able to send that test away, but unfortunately, we're not able to send it away now, and while I would have reservations about it, nonetheless, it is a very, very useful test for us to send away, but unfortunately, that has been taken from us.
This text from a caller... So this text from a caller sums it all up in the story. I had a smear test in February, just 3 months ago.
Yeah.
It came back clear, but should I get another one done? I mean, that's the position.
Well,
any woman that's had
that
a smear...
This phone could actually cut off me. But yes, my answer to that person is, and the minister has already said that, if you have any worries at all, by all means, you should go and have it done again. But it's okay. It's doubling up on it. But if your test was negative the last time, well, okay. In view of what has happened here now, that's the confidence issue. Those people don't have the confidence. Okay. So that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting more women who've had the smear test. My own wife had a smear test. That they're all. All actually may well be wanting to say, okay, I want it checked again.
Yeah, I think I would.
Really undermine the confidence of the whole program.